Our next fundamental is one infinite mind. One of the chief foundation stones of Christian Science, and one of the basic fundamentals that every Christian Scientist should clearly understand, is that there is one infinite mind. There are not many minds. This one infinite mind pervades all space. It is your mind, and is my mind, and is the mind of everyone. When applying these fundamentals to our healing work, we need to be clear and exact in our thought processes. Take, for example, the statement which we often hear, that in every case that comes to him for help, the practitioner treats himself only. Now, this may be true, but we do not infer from this statement that a practitioner has a private or exclusive mind of his own with which he treats patients. The practitioner does not have a mind of his own, separate and apart from God, and separate and apart from his patient. And the patient does not have a mind of his own, separate from God and separate from the practitioner. There is but one mind, and this mind is the all of each of us. In the case of Peter's wife's mother, Jesus did not have a mind separate from the one infinite mind. And Peter's wife's mother did not have a mind separate from this one infinite mind that needed to be corrected. Peter's wife's mother, at that very instant, was experiencing only what every other expression of the one mind was experiencing. Jesus clearly understood that the one and only mind knew nothing about fever. He also clearly understood that fever, because it was a baneful appearance, was a mental phenomenon of mortal mind, therefore a phase of nothingness. Where did Jesus rebuke the fever? He rebuked or rejected or dealt with this phase of nothingness called a fever at the door of his own consciousness. The fever was not out there. It was not attached to Peter's wife's mother. It was merely a mental phenomenon of mortal mind presented to the consciousness of Jesus, and he was free to accept or reject it. Jesus did not send his thought out to a point in space, to something external to himself, to a material, mortal, personal woman. Jesus rebuked or dealt with the suggestion that appeared to his consciousness that fever was a condition and that it could attach itself to man. Jesus knew that man, the only man, was forever in oneness with infinite mind. Therefore, the mind of Peter's wife's mother was at that very instant in oneness with infinite good. Jesus so clearly and scientifically beheld the reality of man in oneness with infinite good that the mental phenomenon or picture of a woman sick with fever vanished instantly from before his consciousness, and the perfection of man was present. And we read that the woman arose immediately and ministered unto them. From this narrative of Jesus' healing, we do not infer that a practitioner has a private mind or an exclusive mind of his own with which he does his healing work. And in no sense do we infer that a practitioner treats another mind or points his thought at some sick or sinning person. But the practitioner does exclude from his thought and from the thought of his patient, quote, all sense of the realism of any other cause or effect except that which cometh from God, close quote. Miscellany. He dispels all mental phenomena from his thinking and establishes as his consciousness the fact of God and man as one inseparable mind or being. The practitioner's work is wholly impersonal. Infinite mind is active as his consciousness, and this is the only mind present. When we think of ourselves as human persons, or as human practitioners who are striving to be good and striving to heal some sick or sinning person, this is not the scientific way of thinking. As long as we entertain a consciousness of persons, either sick or well, we have minds many. And with minds many as our basis of thinking, we are not at one with the reality of the one mind from which emanates the security and the health and wealth that is divinely and eternally ours. In the realm of the one infinite mind, there are no persons. There is only infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. All is divine knowledge. When we, as human persons or practitioners, think that we know the truth, but that our brother or sister or father or mother does not know the truth, then, indirectly, we have accepted the false belief of minds many, and we have become malpractitioners. The one mind being infinite and indivisible, there can be no thought transference, since each one of us is the immediateness of this one mind. This one mind being eternally perfect in its entirety, it is eternally perfect in its manifestation. Anything that seems wrong cannot take place within this one mind, neither can it be brought about by this one mind. Whatever evil seems to take place, it is always within the supposed realm of minds many, which we falsely entertain. Our individual work as adherents of divine science is to let the one divine mind be our mind and permit it to function in its own true way.